From cold and snowy Minnesota, it's the Ride Ready Podcast, brought to you by the Polaris Help Center. I am Joe Ziemer, and I am not an expert. But today, I'm going to be joined by two experts to learn a little more about the oil and fuel we need for our snowmobiles. If you're a loyal listener of the podcast, these will be familiar voices. First, we welcome back Polaris design engineer Rachel Kendall to educate us on all things two-stroke oil. Then we'll be joined by Polaris technical trainer Tony Verhoeven to talk fuel. So to the phone lines we go. Rachel is standing by in the heart of Polaris country, Roseau, Minnesota. Rachel, thank you so much for once again making time for us. You previously were a test engineer, now you're a design engineer at Polaris. Can you walk us through what those two roles entail?
Sure. So I've been working at the Polaris R&D facility up in Roseau, Minnesota for a few years now. As you said, I started as a test engineer for the snowmobile engines as well as being an oil project lead. So I was responsible for ensuring our two-stroke engines met our quality and durability expectations through engine dynamometer testing, as well as leading all of our two-stroke and four-stroke oil projects. So recently, this past year, I moved out of the test engineer role into my dream job of a powertrain design engineer for the snowmobile team still. So I'm now responsible for designing two-stroke engine components. And in terms of oil, it's kind of cool because I used to work with the design and development engineers to create new oils based on their needs and wants for the engines. And then I'd go iterate and validate the oil. But now I'm on the flip side where I have certain needs and wants from an oil, and I get to help create the goals for our new oil. So it's kind of neat.
Well, let's talk some oils then. When you pick up a bottle of Polaris oil, you'll see Polaris engineered lubricants printed on the side of it. What does Polaris engineered lubricants mean?
Yeah, it just means that we develop these oils in conjunction with designing the engine so that they work in unison, and we also stay on the forefront of technology. So as time goes on, engine oil becomes more and more important. With technology evolving, engines are expected to put out more power, weigh less, have better fuel and oil economy, and all of this means tighter clearances as well within the engine. So this puts a lot of stress on the engines, and it makes good quality oil critical to engine performance and reliability. So our oil is engineered for the operating conditions, the loads, the temperatures that our engines face, just the same as any engine part is designed. And that's what it means to be a Polaris engineered lubricant.
So last time you joined us, we talked about four-stroke oils for off-road vehicles. Let's get this one out there right off the top. If I've got some of that four-stroke oil sitting around my garage that I used for my ATV, can I use that in my two-stroke snowmobile engine?
No, the answer is no. Four-stroke engines have an oil sump where the oil sits at the bottom and it's pumped to the components it needs to go to and it drains back down into the sump. Two-stroke engines use a very small amount of oil that's essentially sprayed at the components, and it mixes with the fuel and air to work its way around the engine to lubricate everything. So two-stroke oil is made so that it can burn clean and smokeless, while four-stroke oil is not. So it's going to gum up your exhaust valves, your pistons, your plugs, everything in that combustion chamber, and you're going to have a lot of smoke, a lot of clouds coming out of your exhaust as you run. And two-stroke oil is also made to lubricate components in a very small concentrations. So with a four-stroke oil, you'd need much more to do the same lubricating. So overall, please, please, please never use four-stroke oil in your two-stroke.
Okay, so we need a two-stroke oil. What two-stroke oils does Polaris offer?
We currently offer three oils. So we have Polaris Blue. All of the oils are in a blue jug, but Polaris Blue also has like blue accents on the label and a blue cap. And then we have VES, which has orange accents and an orange cap, and then VES Extreme, which has white accents and a white cap.
How do I know which one of those to choose for my snowmobile?
Well, the correct answer is to refer to your owner's manual. That thing has a bunch of good information about your sled and your particular engine that's in your sled, so that's the best thing to do. But basically, our blue oil is for fan-cooled, non-exhaust valve engine with a focus on cold climate. So for those of you that are running our 550 engine, this is probably going to be the oil for you. There is VES, which is our standard oil used across all of our engine lines, all of the ones with the powered exhaust valves. And then VES Extreme. This is for extreme riders or people that are in harsh conditions like cold climate, or for someone that just wants the best protection for their engine. And all, like, currently our 600s, 800s, and 850s can use either VES or VES Extreme. It just sort of matters what kind of rider you are, what kind of protection you want, and the climate where you're riding.
Let's get into that difference a little bit more. Say I'm a snowmobiler on a budget. I'm deciding between VES and VES Extreme. How do I know which one to buy? Is it worth spending the extra money on Extreme? And what do I get for that extra money I'm spending?
Yeah, I get that question a lot. I definitely think it's worth it. It's up to every rider to decide. But VES Extreme is the best oil you can get for your Polaris two-stroke. Basically, there's ester in the base formula, which gives you great lubricity because it's polar, which means that it likes to stick to metal. So it's going to have really good films between your metal on metal parts. It reduces friction and it can keep those films in tight, hot spaces, which is really important. And it also burns cleaner. So you don't get all gummed up with carbon deposits on your exhaust valves, on your pistons, on your spark plugs. It just keeps the whole combustion area cleaner as well. There's also a major focus on cold temperature performance. That was a big goal for VES Extreme. So if you're up in Canada, if you're out northeast, even if you're out west, if you're a person that keeps their sled outside overnight or in a trailer overnight and it gets cold, VES Extreme might be for you. It's 20% better cold flow down to minus 40 over VES. So basically it allows the oil to quickly get to the places it needs to be to provide better protection. And we also reduced pull effort by 20%. So when that sled is sitting out overnight or it's, you know, minus 20, minus 30, minus 40, you're going to have a much easier time pulling over that motor when you go to start it up in the morning with VES Extreme over VES. The other benefits of VES Extreme are that it has no scent. So we've had lots of people say, you know, my family complains about all my stinky gear in the hallway or whatever. So it's kind of nice if you're using VES Extreme, there's no odor. And this can also be good if you're riding in sort of an environmentally friendly area. There's lots of cross-country skiers, there's people doing other activities. Lots of times they will appreciate a lower odor burning oil as well. And if you're an aggressive rider or a cold climate rider, or if you just want the best protection for your engine, that's who I recommend VES Extreme to. And the way I look at it in terms of cost is, currently VES is $50 USD a gallon and VES Extreme is $58. So most riders, the average rider, is going to go through less than 3 gallons in a season. So we're talking, you know, anywhere between $15 to $25 a season more to get the best protection for your snowmobile. And if you go and spend, you know, $15,000 or whatever it may be on a brand new sled, $20 extra a season is probably pretty reasonable to get the best for your new sled.
Well, now that I've decided on what oil I'm gonna put into my snowmobile, how often should I be checking my oil during the riding season?
You should check your oil before every ride. Just pop off the left-hand side panel. It takes 2 seconds. I always top off before every ride because don't forget, your two-stroke engine burns oil every time you ride, every time that engine's running. It's not like a four-stroke where the oil is being recycled and then needs to be changed after a period of time. Oil is always being consumed in a two-stroke. So every ride you should be checking.
How long does a bottle of oil last if I'm trying to ballpark and estimate for a ride I'm going on?
The rule of thumb, if you have like one of our newer engines within the last couple of years, it's about 3 tanks of gas to a tank of oil. But it's extremely dependent on how you ride, if you're wide open across the lake, if you're doing slower trail runs. But a light will go on in your gauge when you start to get low. So there is that reminder. But if you're a ways from home, you might not have enough to get back. So again, make sure you're checking before every ride, filling up, topping off before every ride. And if you're planning on going for a longer ride, you know, 200, 300 miles plus, it's a good idea to bring some extra along. I usually have two quarts in my the bag under the fuel tank, or you know, you can have it in the truck if you're doing a couple loops. So it's a good idea to bring some along if you are planning a longer ride.
So we always recommend using Polaris oils. Why do we recommend using a Polaris oil versus an aftermarket oil?
Yeah, the way and the amount we test is one of the main reasons we're able to be better than aftermarket and recommend using our oils. And, you know, this is very similar to our four-stroke oil that we talked about on the podcast before. Because our process of vetting four-stroke oil is the same as two-stroke oil. So basically, you know, we test using a combination of extremely aggressive, harsh testing and also a consumer-based duty cycle that's proprietary to Polaris that's been developed over years of consumer data to replicate how our consumers are riding their snowmobiles. And no aftermarket company is going to have this. So this testing is used to both develop our oils and then also validate them for durability and quality. So same thing as with the four-stroke oil development, a very high level. When we develop a new oil, we work with the engine designers to look at existing engines to see areas that have the most wear or might be a little sensitive. And then we look at future engines to understand what future requirements might be. And we look at how consumers are riding the engines and in what kind of climates. And this creates sort of goals, a set of goals for a new oil. And then several bench and lab tests are performed until we feel like we have a good candidate. Then we move into pull effort and pumpability tests, which we often have to iterate through a few times, redoing bench testing every time. And then once we feel good about everything, then we can move on to actual full engine performance and durability testing. And durability testing must be completed both on the dyno and in vehicles in the field for all current and future production engines. So we're talking a lot of testing. We're talking tens of thousands of dyno hours and tens of thousands of field miles before it gets offered to the consumers. And another thing of note is that for us to make any adjustments to our oil, whether it be, you know, a new additive package, some type of supplier change, or anything like that, we have to go through all of these validation steps again and basically start over, because it's our policy to keep our oil quality and confidence. But aftermarket, they're able to make big changes on the fly with really no information or no knowledge that these changes are even going on. So there's not anything different on the bottle necessarily. And we just control our changes a lot more than aftermarket to make sure you're getting the best for your two-stroke. And the last thing I'll mention is that, you know, every engine platform has sensitivities and only the OEMs and designers know what they are. So oil can help these sensitivities if they're formulated specifically with the sensitivity in mind. So this means that there's no magic aftermarket oil that's going to be the best oil for a Polaris engine, a Yamaha engine, a Skidoo engine, an Arctic engine, all in one. Because the best oil for each engine will be different based on the sensitivities. So using Polaris oil is the best for reliability and longevity of your Polaris engine.
If I do pick the wrong oil, where can that come back to bite me? What sort of issues might I face if I use the wrong oil in my snowmobile?
I guess sort of we already talked about four-stroke versus two-stroke, but between two-stroke oils, some of the things that can go wrong is if the oil is too thin, it can flash off in hot, tight spaces, such as your wrist pin bores or the lower rod bearing. So when that oil flashes off, there's going to be metal-to-metal contact creating wear. And if you get a lot of wear in your wrist pin bores, this can lead to piston rocking, which will damage your piston and cylinders and can lead to an engine failure if it gets bad enough. And then if oil film is lost in the lower rod bearings, that can quickly turn into a crankshaft failure in engine lockup, because those are very sensitive parts. If the oil is too thick, on the other hand, it can be difficult to pull over in cold temperatures, or if you have electric start, it can be hard on your electric start components and cause damage and wear. It can also be difficult to pump and reach critical components quickly or in the desired quantity. And this can lead to a lot of different damage and failures. And then with two-stroke oil, another really important aspect is the detergency. So if the oil doesn't have the right detergency and additives, there will be excess carbon on your components, because basically the detergency and additives are responsible for keeping all of your components clean and not building up that carbon deposit from burning the oil with the fuel. So if it doesn't have adequate detergency and additives, it's going to gum up your exhaust valves. They can start to stick, which you'll then see a noticeable performance decrease. It can also leave deposits on your piston that can make it wear unevenly, or can increase the friction and heat going on in the combustion chamber. And it can also create issues for your spark plugs. So basically, I mentioned it in the beginning already, but it's important to get the point across that as time goes on, engine becomes more and more important with technology evolving, and engines are expected to put out more power, weigh less, have better fuel economy, have tighter clearances. So again, you know, these engines are really working hard, and just because somebody has used a certain oil for 20 years, it doesn't mean that it's going to work with these new engines. They have much different appetites now.
When is it okay for me to mix oils, and when should I not mix an oil?
So Polaris, all of Polaris two-stroke oils can be mixed with each other. We've done a lot of testing on that and the compatibility. But do keep in mind, you know, if you have VES Extreme and you top off with VES, it's not going to cause any harm, but you're not going to get the full benefits of the Extreme. You're going to be, you know, somewhere in the middle, depending on how much you have of each. And then in terms of non-Polaris lubricants, there are potentially chemistry incompatibilities as well as further impacting the lubricant performance. So it should really never be done again, unless you have some type of emergency situation.
Now, if I'm someone who's listening to this podcast because I just got a brand new snowmobile, or I'm snowmobiling for the first time, what is important for me to know about oils when it comes to breaking in that snowmobile?
That's a good question. I get this one a lot, actually. A lot of people asking about to pre-mix or to not pre-mix. It is a long time debate, and traditional sleds have always required that you mix some oil in with your first tank of gas, and that helps it break in. It lubricates everything a little better. But since we've had electronic oil pumps for a few years now, this is not true anymore. Currently, only our 550 engines require pre-mix. Our 600, 800, and 850s do not. If you are unsure about your engine, if it's a few years old, you're not sure, check your owner's manual. It's always in the owner's manual. And if you are adding, if you think, oh, well, I'll just do it in case, that's not the right answer either, because doing pre-mix when you don't need it causes the engine to perform poorly. It also builds up a lot of carbon on the components because it's just too much oil in there, and it's not going to be able to keep everything clean. It's too much burning in there. So you can gum up your components and you're just sort of off to a bad start. So really the right answer is just to check with your owner's manual and either follow the premix, or please don't put in oil in the fuel tank if it tells you to not do premix. Besides that, my only other recommendation, you know, is to ride your sled hard. You want to avoid holding sustained RPM for long periods of time, like wide open across a lake, or even, you know, half throttle through a field for 20 miles. You want to be riding it transient. You want to open up that throttle sometimes. You want to do some slow riding. You want to do some mid riding, and just don't hold it at one speed for several times. And this will help everything break in nicely, the piston ring seat. And you want to do this for the first tank of fuel is usually the general rule of thumb, or about 3 hours, which is what we sort of consider engine break-in. And really, that's it. With the electronic oil pumps now, the ECU takes care of everything for you. It varies between engine platforms, but the ECU provides extra fuel and extra oil for a certain amount of time, basically to protect the components and make sure everything's well lubricated to begin with. So usually when you get out of the fuel break-in, you might notice a slight performance increase, but most people don't unless they're really paying attention for it. And then the extra oil that the ECU adds is pretty minimal, so most people don't notice much of a difference in oil consumption, whether they're in the break-in mode or not in the break-in mode. Most people won't notice. And that's really it in terms of break-in with oil.
Well, Rachel, thank you so much for the time. Thank you so much for the knowledge, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your riding season.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. And for anyone looking for additional information, you can always go to polarislubricants.com as well.
From oil, we now turn our attention to fuel, and that means we must bring back into the podcast Tony Verhoeven. Tony, welcome back for your second appearance on the podcast.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Tony, you are a technical trainer. Tell us what that means.
So my job for Polaris is to train dealership technicians. So they come in after doing their online courses, and they do in-person training with me. So we do a day of lecture and then a week out in the shop where we simulate a dealership environment and make sure they're up to date on all the new technology and all the new products that we're launching.
Another reason we wanted to have you on this podcast, you are an avid snowmobiler. How long has that been a big part of your life?
Yeah, so I've been snowmobiling ever since I was a kid, as young as I can remember, sitting behind my mom on a Polaris snowmobile. That's kind of where I got my roots in the power sports industry is snowmobiling. So, yeah, I guess it kind of continued on all throughout high school, working with local clubs and riding. And for winter, for my family, snowmobiling was the big thing. Multiple trips a year, always riding at home. We lived on a lake, so as kids, we got to go out and ride snowmobiles around and around on the lake. So snowmobiling's been huge, and now working for Polaris and having the opportunity to ride the product in the winter has been pretty awesome. Try to get out and do as much riding as I can in the winter. Just got back a couple weeks ago from a 400-mile, two-day backpack trip where we rode out 200 miles and then stayed overnight and rode back. So it's been awesome. Snow's been fantastic this year in Minnesota. Been doing a ton of riding.
Let's talk about fuel. The first question people will ask is, what type of fuel do I need to put in my snowmobile?
So the best fuel you can run is typically 91 non-oxygenated fuel. We're looking for non-oxygenated. It typically runs better. It's going to store better than traditional gasoline with ethanol. It's going to spoil less quickly. So we always try to find 91 non-ox if we can. If you can't find 91 non-oxygenated fuel, you can run a lesser quality fuel, like let's say an 87 or an 89 octane. If I get into a situation where I'm, you know, say up north and run into a resort where all they're selling is 87 or 89, we'll fill up with that. And I try to run that out of my sled. And anytime my sled is going to sit for any extended period of time, I'm going to make sure that it's full of 91 non-ox fuel. The other thing you have to watch out for is just making sure that your sled is in the proper setting. So if you do get into a situation where you can't find 91 non-oxygenated fuel or something of that quality, you're going to want to switch your sled over. Depending on what you're riding, it's either a setting that can be changed in the cluster, or you know, you can take a look at your owner's manual, and they typically give you a sequence of button pushes or different things to do. Some of our older sleds, you had to take a plug out and flip the plug around and put it back in. So if you just look at your owner's manual, it'll tell you what you do if you get into a situation where you can't get good 91 non-oxygenated fuel.
And we do have an article on the Polaris Help Center website on how to change those fuel type selections. I'm going to put a link to that article in the description of this episode, so make sure to check that out. Why is that important, Tony? Why do you need to change that selector?
So our fuel mapping and all of our calibration work is done around a certain octane fuel and a certain grade of fuel, we'll call it, so a better high test fuel. So when you get into that lower end fuel, you can have detonation issues and bring about all kinds of other engine troubles and bogging and sputtering and things like that, hard starting. So if you change that over, it's going to help with all that, and the engineers have done a great job with, you know, matching up the calibration to meet the standards of that lower quality fuel, as well as a great job of calibrating for your 91 non-oxygenated, your good high test fuel. So you just want to make sure that you're switched over to the right setting for maximum performance and to reduce any potential issues with engine troubles.
Another piece of advice I've heard you give out before is to make sure you have fresh fuel from a high traffic gas station in your sled. Why is that important?
Yeah, so fuel over time is going to start to lose its octane rating and start to spoil. You know, we typically see it a lot in recreational vehicles that are used seasonally. So here in Minnesota, just a couple months out of the year, you're able to actually ride your snowmobile. And when you get into the summer months, if you're leaving bad fuel in it or unstabilized fuel, untreated fuel in it, especially when you get into your ethanols, that fuel is going to spoil and gum up faster than a 91 non-oxygenated fuel will. So we always stress it's important to get your fuel at a high traffic gas station. And the reason being is as fuel sits, it spoils just like it does in your gas tank. It's no different at the gas station. So if you go to a gas station and that fuel has been sitting in there for a year because it's not a frequented gas station, or, you know, oftentimes what we run into is you get a small resort on a lake, you know, way up north in the country where there's not a lot of people, there's not a lot of traffic, and they're selling the same fuel that they were selling to guys in fishing boats this summer, right? And that fuel has been sitting in there. You can bump into those problems. We also see that in metro areas where your high test non-oxygenated fuel is not used as often. So if you get into inner city where they're not using recreational vehicles and that fuel is not moving at the gas station, that fuel is sitting in there. And just like it spoils when it sits in your fuel tank, it does the same thing at the gas station. So you want to make sure that you're going somewhere that's frequented, a good trusted source for gasoline that you know is being used and that tank is being emptied because people are using it and refilled with fresh stuff.
Tony, thanks for the expertise and enjoy the riding season.
Thanks, Joe. Have a good one.
Big thanks to Rachel and Tony, and a big thanks to all of you for listening. If you like what you've heard, please consider leaving us a 5-star review. And tell your friends to subscribe wherever they get their podcasts. You can hear more from Rachel, Tony, and a host of other experts in our archives. And find even more content and information on the Polaris Help Center. Until next time, this has been the Ride Ready Podcast.
The Ride Ready Podcast is brought to you by the Polaris Help Center, your first stop for vehicle information, maintenance tips, and how-to videos. Look for the Help button in the upper right-hand corner of any Polaris brand website. Remember, all riders should always wear helmets, eye protection, and protective clothing and footwear. Read, understand, and follow your owner's manual. Never ride under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Ride within the limits of your own abilities and never engage in stunt or exhibition driving.